Beth Cobert is about to go before the Senate for the first time since becoming the acting director of the Office of Personnel Management. President Barack Obama has tapped her to become the permanent OPM chief. That means a Senate confirmation hearing. Cobert took over the agency following hacks on OPM's databases that left 22 million people vulnerable and the hasty departure of her predecessor, Catherine Archuleta. Federal News Radio's Emily Kopp says the cybersecurity breach is the first of many things Cobert is likely to be asked about.
Number one, of course, how is OPM going to make sure that something like this never happens again with regards to the federal employees, job candidates, federal employees' spouses, all their personal information that OPM stores? And if you talk to her now, she'll say this is OPM's first priority. They've already made some changes, but they haven't put people at ease.
No, but they have done some database updates at the Interior Department. And as our colleague Jason Miller reports, that has slowed down the employee portal during open season. But that's because of the cybersecurity upgrade. So there's plenty of evidence it's going on.
Exactly. She's hired a cybersecurity advisor as well, the first one at OPM. But nonetheless, there are still some big questions. And when I tried to gather, sort of crowdsource these questions, right, that Congress might ask or maybe should ask to give some food for thought, Don Kettle, a professor at the University of Maryland, said, you know, underlying these questions is how OPM is going to manage the contractors it uses in the security clearance process. Because you'll remember there were problems with that long before we knew about these breaches. There was one big contractor, USIS. They lost the contract. Others got it. It was found that the hackers were able to gain access to OPM's databases because they were able to get some information from one of the contractors. And so that's a big question. Also, another question is whether the Pentagon, DOD, is the agency responsible for the majority of security clearances, if they're going to be satisfied with OPM still having this part of the process.
And also related to cybersecurity, recently OPM granted Homeland Security the authority to hire 1,000 new cybersecurity professionals. And so maybe a question we can postulate that Congress will ask Ms. Cobert is, how are you going to recruit those people?
Exactly. So that's a question that I posed or I discussed with Max Steyer of the Partnership for Public Service. They've done reports on the need for cybersecurity workers within the federal government. And he calls what OPM did with regards to the Homeland Security Department a Band-Aid. It's good for DHS and it's good for right now, but it doesn't solve the bigger problems like getting cybersecurity workers at OPM, for example. And the interesting thing is, in doing some of this past reporting, I learned that OPM has the right, and I should say one of the big problems with this is pay, that the government can't compete with Silicon Valley. But OPM has the ability to take a group of workers, say cybersecurity professionals, create a separate pay system just for them. And so they could pay more than they do now, but it's a process that involves public comment and congressional hearings, and OPM has never used this authority, but indeed it could if it wanted to.
And they can also right now probably pay better than, say, Detroit, or other places where there might be industrial manufacturing places that have cybersecurity people that aren't paid like they're paid working for a startup or somewhere or Intel or something in Silicon Valley.
Exactly. I mean, there are two things here. One is cybersecurity education. There simply aren't enough professionals and everybody wants them. But the other that you hear a lot from government recruiters is pay and resources and sort of the perks of what you might get at some of these tech firms and sort of in terms of work-life balance and creativity that the government hasn't managed to match.
We are imagining the confirmation hearing of Beth Cobert to be the permanent director of the Office of Personnel Management with Federal News Radio's Emily Kopp. And so that gets to the question of general employment. And what do you think they'll ask her on that one?
Well, if you were to ask a lot of people within agencies, and not to say that Congress necessarily listens to agency hiring folks, they'll say that hiring reform has not done, it has not reached the end goal of making hiring better. In a lot of places, hiring reform was made the process faster. So it's still quite a long process compared to what job candidates for jobs in the private sector go through, but it's faster than it once was. Jerry Buchholz, who until recently was NASA's chief human capital officer, said, you know, COBRIT really needs to stick to making the process better, not necessarily more efficient, but getting the right people in the right jobs. And that's something that is a whole big problem, and encompasses everything from USA jobs to training agencies and how to get the people they really want.
If you want better, faster, cheaper, you have to decide on two of the above. You can't get all three.
Exactly. And there is still the question of whether they've gotten faster.
Okay. And then there's the larger issue of not only the hiring process, but is it desirable to work for the federal government? OPM has some say over that.
Exactly. So that is
some influence on it anyway.
Yeah. And OPM has this sort of dual role with other agencies in that on one hand, it is supposed to set policies and guide agencies. But on the other hand, it's sort of we suggest that you do this. You don't have to do it. We're not enforcing it, but we suggest that you do it this way. So it's not that OPM doesn't know what to do, but that perhaps other agencies, bigger, more powerful agencies, aren't necessarily listening. So one thing that people asked is, you know, how is OPM going to make government jobs more desirable? Maybe you should look at the whole civil service system. This is something that some members of Congress really want to see happen. A reform of the general schedule. Again, talking to places like the Partnership for Public Service, they'll argue that it's outdated. It's meant for a sort of a clerical workforce, a workforce of government clerks. That's not what we have right now. We have something that's far more dynamic, and they'll argue for a market-driven approach as opposed to this. Of course, unions are going to resist this, and so it's quite a controversial topic, and one that, frankly, OPM hasn't really had the appetite to take on. But now, if COBRIT is a permanent director, she's certainly got the credentials, she could do it.
And the disciplining of employees, this all came to a head during the VA scandal, which is not really done for, but it seems like the Office of Special Counsel and angry Congress did more to affect some kind of speedy retribution for really bad people than anything OPM has done. So maybe that'll come up also.
Exactly. So what role should OPM play in discipline for poor performance? And again, as the entity that is supposed to set policy and guide other agencies, how should agencies deal with poor performers or misconduct? This is a really big issue that OPM has stayed relatively quiet on. And so Congress is trying to fill the gap. They're taking the Veterans Affairs Department as sort of the guinea pig and suggesting all these ways to more quickly fire people that the secretary might not think is doing a good job or because of misconduct. But it still remains to be seen, how is the government at large going to deal with this problem?
And I guess the final question you think she might be asked would be if she has a plan to fix the senior executive service.
Exactly. And that goes along with it, right? I mean, we're talking about the senior executive service in comparison with those on the general schedule or those represented by unions. They have far less job protections. They get a little bit more pay, but not much, and a lot more responsibility. So whereas talking to some people like Ron Sanders of Booz Allen Hamilton, who used to be an SES member, is still a really big supporter of OPM and involved in these sorts of issues. He said, you know, it used to be the pinnacle of your career. I love the fact that I got that lapel pin from the SES. An online survey we did earlier this year showed that people don't think that way. They would rather be GS-14s or 15s, and that's a problem.